Today on Straight Talk Africa, a discussion on post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. In the last two decades, according to experts, at least 18 African countries have been affected by civil wars and conflict. As a result, more than 100 million people are victims of PTSD. That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, July 1st. I am Shaka Salih. My colleague and social media reporter, Maria Majaro, is on a special assignment in the Senegal's capital, Dakar, her home, sweet home. Today, we'll talk about the available approaches and treatments of PTSD among survivors of war and conflict in Africa. And coming up later in our STA inbox, you, our audience, have weighed in on our topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments, and we'll reveal some of them later. Post-traumatic stress disorder has been described as a group of symptoms that include withdrawal, depression, sadness, or just unwanted remembrances. Individuals with PTSD are in their minds often stuck at the time the trauma occurred. My colleague, Paul Sisco, has more.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, is simply described as a mental disorder caused by experiencing or witnessing deeply traumatic events like war, kidnapping, torture, displacement, or any natural disaster. The World Health Organization says that 10% of people who experience traumatic events will develop serious mental health problems. It also says that women are more vulnerable and more affected by trauma than men. The highest rates of trauma are found in children, followed by the elderly and the disabled. The greater the exposure to violent trauma, the more pronounced the symptoms.
They started to rape me. While in the living room, they had already killed my husband. Since we came here, we have been suffering.
Psychiatrist Norman Rosenthal treats PTSD sufferers.
Post-traumatic stress disorder is a cluster of symptoms that occurs in a person who has been exposed to very major trauma. In their minds, they're often stuck at the time of the trauma.
I was married to a Sudanese. After he was killed, they tortured me, almost killed me.
PTSD has been widely studied. 8 years after the Rwandan genocide, nearly a quarter of the population still showed symptoms of the disorder. According to a study by the United Nations, prolonged conflict in Somalia has left most of the war-torn nation's children with PTSD symptoms. PTSD and depression are also highly prevalent among refugees.
The soldiers took me and my brother with them. They dragged us away in the bush and gang-raped me in front of my brother.
David Shapiro, appearing on VOA's Africa 54 program, says meditation therapy is a proven and effective treatment for PTSD.
For post-traumatic stress disorder, we've done a number of studies in Africa. Mm-hmm. We did one study on Congolese refugees, and these refugees had severe, high level of PTSD symptoms. And what we did is we tested, one group learned the transcendental meditation technique and one group didn't. They were in a waitlisted group. And within 30 days, the TM group became non-symptomatic. Okay. And the control group showed no change over the entire four-month test. There are 350 peer-reviewed studies, which means in journals by experts and have been reviewed by journals that are experts that say it's extremely beneficial.
When you start meditating, it's like somehow something is going off you. Your mind, your body relaxes. You are just in your peaceful world.
One-third of all African nations have experienced war and or terror attacks in the past two decades, resulting in an estimated 100 million Africans experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. Paul Sisco, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Now, joining us here in our Washington studios is our distinguished guest, David Shapiro, president of African PTSD Relief. He is the co-author of two studies that were recently published in the Journal of Traumatic Stress that researched the use of transcendental meditation and PTSD relief among Congolese refugees. I have to say frankly that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to finally host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. It's a great joy to be here. We discussed this a couple months ago, and I really wanted two things. I wanted the world, and especially the African nations, to know there's a huge problem. And I want the African nations, especially the governments, to know that we have a very effective program to get rid of this problem, which is not only a mental problem, but it's also a block to the education process of students. It's a block to good family life, and it's a block to effective employment and economic prosperity.
Thank you very much. Now, joining us from our New York studios is Dr. David Okano, a licensed psychologist with 35 years of clinical and academic experience, specializing in forensics, neuropsychological testing, and medical psychology. Dr. Okano is the author and editor of 8 books on the subject, including his most recent entitled Prescribing Health, Transcendental Meditation in Contemporary Medical Care. And it's a pleasure, of course, Dr. Okano, to host you too for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You're most welcome. And last but not least, Dr. Solomon Mwangi, the Director for African PTSD Relief Projects in Kenya and the Coordinator for the Africa Excellence Institute's PTSD Rehabilitation Programs in East Africa, based in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. He joins us via telephone link up from the Kenyan district of Transmara, Naroka County. Good evening, Dr. Mwangi.
Good evening, Dr. Sally and listeners.
Well,
I'm honored to join you this evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Unfortunately for me, I happen to be a doctor, but without a clinic. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. But before we begin today's discussion, let's get an update on the latest political situation in Burundi. And for that, I am joined by my colleague, Edward Rwema, of the Voice of America's Central Africa Service. He joins us via Skype from the capital, Bujumbura. Good evening, Eddie. Good evening, Eddie. Eddie, are you there? Good evening, Eddie.
Good evening, Shaka. I can hardly hear you. Maybe
really?
The microphone or the volume of the microphone.
But I'm hearing you now loud and clear. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Eddie? Well, I'm afraid we seem to be experiencing some technical difficulties. For now, I suppose I'll come to you, David Shapiro. How does it feel like to finally be here on Straight Talk Africa, given that the first time we met was April 18?
Well, as you can see, we've given 3 presentations already on this very vital topic of PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
So we're glad to have the opportunity because there's a huge need for a solution. First, there's a need to even recognize there's a problem. And then once we recognize the problem, we have a need for a solution. So I want to use every moment possible to alert the governments and the people of Africa to the problem.
You know, listening to the piece by my colleague Paul Sisko, I just heard that it affects, in particular, women. Why are women most vulnerable in as far as the disease is concerned?
That I'm not really sure, but women are more sensitive. You know, they're more, I think women are more sensitive, so that may be the only, going to be one reason. Also, there are many causes of PTSD. Everyone can be affected by war or violence, but rape is something, obviously, that predominantly affects women. So that would mean that, for example, in South Africa, in the one of the schools we tested, 80% of the girls entering the school, this college, had been sexually abused. So that means that a much greater percentage of women would be having PTSD, even in the same environment.
So if, in fact, you think, at least for a moment, the more than 200 Chibuoko girls,
yes,
in northeastern Nigeria, who were, of course, taken hostage by
right.
Boko Haram,
right,
they must be going through that sort of situation, isn't it, experiencing
oh, yeah.
that?
Absolutely. You know, so again, the causes of PTSD are not just war, but any type of violence, sexual abuse, physical abuse, or even natural disaster like Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
So we think of the countries that have had Ebola. You see family members die, you see family members get very sick, and it's a huge stress. But to keep in mind that not everyone who has a traumatic event gets PTSD. Some people are more sensitive, and they get PTSD, and PTSD is a chronic condition. It means that it just doesn't go away. So something has to be done.
Walk us back in memory lane now. What inspired you, really, or triggered your interest in this disease?
Well, it's very interesting. A friend of mine was doing research in the United States on veterans in the United States because he knew it was a big problem with war veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm working in an Africa project. Why don't we test Congolese refugees? And then we tested them. We were absolutely inspired when we saw that in 30 days, 90% of the Congolese refugees with high levels of PTSD became non-symptomatic. We thought we can't say cure, but the reality is that's what we're thinking. We're thinking this is amazing, this is going to help. And then later on, we found out that 100 million people had a problem, so we decided we had to help.
When you talk about Congolese, did you find those refugees in Congo or in third-party countries?
No. We found them in Uganda.
In Uganda?
100,000 refugees live in Kampala, which is the capital of Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
They'd fled their country because of fear of more horrible incidences. And so there are obviously many people who stay in Congo and suffer with the after effects of violence. But this group, 100,000, are in Uganda. And the problem is that not only do they live with the suffering of the of memories,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have the same language. They speak French, and in Uganda they speak English. They're poor. They have no source of food or education. They're suffering in many ways which need to be helped.
So very briefly, what is the extent of the disease on the continent?
Well, we calculate 100 million people have PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we do that is we looked at a country that's not in a war zone, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Eugene Allers, who was the past president of the Society of Psychiatrists for that whole country, estimated that up to 25% had PTSD. That's of a non-warring country. And we've done little tests in other countries that have wars, and we've tested different groups, 50% in one military academy, 80%.
Mm-hmm.
So we figure if we say 10%, which is 100 million of a billion population, it's a very safe number.
Very briefly, in 30 seconds, when you talk about 100 million human beings,
that's right.
How do you arrive at such a ballpark figure, really?
Yeah. Well, as I said, there are a billion Africans. If we say 10% of a billion is 100 million, and we say in many countries we're looking at it's 25 to 50%. We're being very conservative when we say 100 million people, and it's a horrible number.
Very interesting. Now we'll have to stop right there, where I'm sorry, I thought that, of course, I was in Burundi. We have to go for a break, and when we come back, we shall continue with the discussion on PTSD, or hopefully by then, the engineers will have fixed the lines so that we can get a report, a very brief report, from the Burundian capital, Bujumbura. Don't go away.
Africa and post-traumatic stress disorder. In the past 20 years, 18 African nations have been ravaged by war. 100 million Africans are estimated to have been victims of war, terror attacks, sexual abuse, and natural disasters, and now suffer from PTSD. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda, and South Sudan, it is estimated that up to 50% of the population suffers from PTSD. In South Africa, where conflict has been minimal recently, it is estimated that up to 25% of the population may suffer from PTSD.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're gonna get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart. And of course, we are very lucky that we're going to be joined by my colleague, Eddie Rwema, from the Burundian capital, Bujumbura. Good evening, Eddie.
Good evening, Ndugu Shaka. I can now hear you loud and clear.
I am hugely terrific, and I'm glad it could work out. What is the mood like from your vantage point?
The mood right now is a little bit mixed when you talk to the members or the followers of the ruling party, CNDD-FDD. Their mood is high. They're very happy that they were able to organize the elections, the local and parliamentary elections. On the other side, when you talk to the opposition, civil society, and other people that were against the running again of President Pierre Nkurunziza, they are not happy that the elections took place because they had requested a postponement so that they can provide the opposition with ample time and create an environment that is conducive for them to take part in this election. So I would say right now the mood is mixed. We've had lots of firing today as the country was celebrating its 53rd Independence Day. Here in the capital, Bujumbura, right now information we have is that at least seven people have died today because of the shootings and fighting that is going on in some of the suburbs here in the capital, Bujumbura, Shaka.
I see. How effective, to the best of your knowledge, really, was the boycott by opposition parties? Because we've actually been getting mixed reports about it. I am told reliably that, in fact, on the contrary, opposition supporters participated in the election.
It was effective, especially here in the capital, Bujumbura. In many of the polling centers that we visited, there was so much low turnout. I can tell you at one polling center where I went, out of 385 people that had registered to vote, only 58 people voted, and out of those 58, 50 were from the security organs, that's police and the army. So basically, you would say that among the voters that we had registered, only 8 participated in the vote. Outside Bujumbura, we hear that there was a high turnout, but again, when you talk to different people, people say that most people went to vote because they had fear that something might happen to them if they didn't heed to the call of voting. The other thing is that, like you said, we are learning that some members of the opposition went ahead and voted despite saying that they had boycotted the elections. When we speak to those members, they tell us that the reasons the results show that people voted for them is because their names, their logos had been put on the ballot paper before even they decided to boycott Shaka.
Yeah, because, of course, we do have reports that especially Agathon Rwasa, who is part of an alliance called Amizero, or HOPE, has actually happens to be running second to CNDD-FDD party. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is what we are hearing from the ground. That is what we are hearing from the National Electoral Commission. But when you speak to them, they tell you that they had come out strongly to oppose these elections. But since their name had already been put on the ballot box, that did not stop people who came out to vote from electing them. So, like you said, we are hearing that CNDD-FDD, which is the ruling party, is now ahead of garnering so many seats from the elections that happened, and Amizero, which is a coalition that is headed by Agathon Rwasa, is so far coming second from the partial results that are being announced here in the capital, Bujumbura.
What about reports that Frodebu, of course, historical party in Burundi, especially given that it was, I think, founded by Merikio Ndadaye, the assassinated Burundian president back in 1993. What about the people, the spokespeople of that party, who characterized Monday's poll as a non-event? Do they have any hard grounds for that?
Every single opposition party besides those that are allied to the ruling party, when you talk to them, they'll tell you that Monday's elections was a non-vote. It was a single party election. Everybody says that the elections were not supposed to take place because the environment was not conducive for every single party, be the opposition and others, to take part in this election. So it's very true. When you speak to people here in Bujumbura, most of them will tell you that whatever is going to come out of these elections is not going to be a legitimate Shaka.
We know, of course, that it was boycotted by the African Union and the European Union observers. What about other observers, regional and domestic monitors?
There were a few domestic monitors, mostly those from civil society organizations that are in a way allied to the government. Other people that were able to see was the United Nations monitors. They had issued a statement a day before the elections saying that they were going to go ahead with elections, but that does not mean that they stamp or they approve what is going to come out of the elections. So, yes, there were a few monitors, but other organizations, like you said, the African Union, the European Union, they all boycotted and pulled out their observers from monitoring the elections here in Burundi.
What can you tell us about the situation of refugees and internally displaced people?
Just a few reports we are getting from the United Nations Human Rights Commission is that just 2 days before the elections, close to 10,000 people fled in just 2 days. This is the same reports we are hearing now, that close to 140,000 Burundians have fled their country. Most of them have fled to neighboring countries like Tanzania, Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And the issue of refugees, Shaka, as you may know, was one of the terms that was said by the heads of state of the East African Community, that before the elections can take place, all the refugees should have been repatriated. The ruling party had been asked to disarm its youth wing, and also the opening of media. All that, I would say, were not meant, and that's one of the reasons why the international community, the opposition here, said that the election was a sham.
Any truth in the statement from the government that elections were free, fair, credible, and in fact were also secured?
In as far as secure is concerned, I would say the elections were very secure. Most of the polling stations we visited, they were all secure. There was a lot of military and police presence. But again, one thing that we should not forget is that not so many people came out to vote in most of the polling centers here in Bujumbura. Actually, there were so many police and army officers voting instead of seeing so many residents from different suburbs coming out to vote, Shaka.
Well, I have to say thank you so much, Eddie, from the Burundian capital, Bujumbura. Make sure that you take care of yourself.
Thank you so much, Ndugu Shaka.
You're most welcome. Well, let me go to New York and see if I can talk with the good doctor. Good afternoon, Dr. Okano.
Afternoon.
How are you?
Very good.
What are the fundamental root causes of post-traumatic stress disorder? Is it largely a war disorder, or is it an equal opportunity employer?
Well, the last statement you made applies to this disorder. PTSD is one of the anxiety disorders, and I'm a psychologist and psychiatrist, and counselors treat this disorder all the time. I've been dealing with it in the trenches, so to speak, with patients for the past 35 years. And it doesn't necessarily have to be caused by war. There's all sorts of trauma that goes along with war. But I've seen post-traumatic stress disorder with people who learned of other people's trauma and were so horrified by it, they began having symptoms of PTSD that David mentioned earlier. First responders, paramedics, emergency medical technicians often develop PTSD, as do firemen and policemen. People who are involved in natural disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis. Literally anything that is so traumatic that it overwhelms the nervous system, there's going to be about 1 to 2 in 10 people who, for possibly some genetic reasons, or they've experienced a number of what we call adverse childhood events, they're vulnerable to the development of this disorder. I basically think anybody is, if the trauma is strong enough. So while we certainly see it with our returning combat veterans in the United States and in previous wars such as the Vietnam War, we see it with civilians here in Africa suffering from the effects of war and all the atrocities that go along with it. But really, it is an equal opportunity destroyer, as we say, and can affect anyone, anybody involved in a highly traumatic event.
Now, doctor, for the sake of our audience, again, what are the symptoms of PTSD?
Well, one of the criteria that we have for it as mental health professionals is some type of exposure to a traumatic event, or learning about it, or hearing about the gory details of an event, usually some type of horrific trauma. Following that, and what usually happens because of the trauma, is a dysregulation and disturbance in emotional functioning, which leads to severe symptoms of anxiety, often depression, what we call emotional numbing, where the person feels like their emotions have dampened and they don't have full access to them. People become socially estranged, socially isolated.